Before that, let us tell you something of his achievements that our panel of judges had to take into consideration to make him the number one from a list of 18 equally qualified candidates. He was born, raised, and educated in Western Michigan. He is 33 years old. He is married to the former, we'll say that. He has two daughters and a son. He is a talented musician, having appeared on radio at the age of 12. He has made recordings for which he has made personal appearances in the United States and abroad. In his community life, he is a member of the Chamber of Commerce, member of the Advisory Board of the Grand Haven Salvation Army, active on the Coast Guard Festival Committee. He wrote and published the Christmas musical program presented for the community, the Grand Haven High School, member of the Ferrisburg Christian Reformed Church, where he is the Minister of Music and a choir director. His recordings are the result of his founding the I Sing of Thee group, which presents musical ministry throughout the Midwest, Korea, and Puerto Rico. He is a member of the Board of Christian School in Grand Haven. His publicizing Education Week was so successful and well accepted that their magazine, National Union, is presenting it so other schools can pattern their programs after it. He has presented program on news coverage of personal involvement. We previously said his first appearance on radio at age 12, but his first radio job did not come until 17. At 19, he was the news director of WFUR in Grand Rapids. Assisting manager at 25, general manager at 26 of WJBL Holland. At 27, he became president and general manager of Grand Haven's radio station, WGHN. His reputation has been developed over the years through accurate and objective coverage. He is willing to dig and work behind the scenes for more and better information. People trust his judgment and respect his decisions. News stories tell the truth, and he believes the truth is the only standard of fairness. He has opinions based on gathered factual information, and he has made them known, which in turn has made the community aware of problems, hidden heroes, and community advances. Awareness has resulted in a greater community involvement of the issues of today. Won't you with us recognize the Distinguished Service Award winner of 1969, Doug Chapkus. Doug.
Believe a broadcaster doesn't know what to say?
It is with mixed emotions that I submit my resignation as the Executive Vice President of the Chamber of Commerce. It will certainly seem strange after 15 years not to report for work. I will miss the close associations that I have enjoyed with the officers and members, and the fine cooperation of the staff and the working committees. I am proud to have had a small part in the continued development of the Tri-Cities area, and again want to express my sincere appreciation to all of those who have given so generously of their time and talents in carrying out the Chamber's many projects and special events. I shall continue to live in Grand Haven and will cooperate in every way possible with the board and my successor in making the transition as smoothly as possible. This is a letter that I have written as of today, and I would hand it over to you, Al, as the president of the chamber. I know that some of you are wondering what I might be doing. You will recall at various board meetings I have told you about my affiliation with the Midwest Federated Fisheries Council, that I was instrumental in forming at the time that we had the botulism outbreak in 1964. I have been on a retainer with them and have handled several jobs for them, as you board members know. And I have now been approached to go to work for them on a practically a full-time basis. And we had a meeting at the O'Hare Inn in Chicago on Sunday afternoon. The reorganization of the group has been completed, and I have been hired as their executive director. Now, I know it's going to take some time to make the transition, for you to find someone to take my place, and I certainly will do everything I can to help and to work with whomever you select, but I would hope that this would not drag on indefinitely, because I have responsibilities that I must fill with this new group. In fact, I will have to make a trip to Washington, D.C. the latter part of next week. And this is all the statement I have to make at this time. Other than I have enjoyed working for the chamber, and will do everything I can to cooperate.
Shot.
So the overall philosophic impact of the space program is not at all encompassed in the trip to the moon or the landings on the moon. After all, that's commonplace now. We've done it twice, and we will continue to do it. The overall impact, personal impact, that I have carried with me since I've flown there is the fact that we possess here in this free society, in this discordant, vibrating mass of humanity, a tremendously competent and a tremendously vital force for human betterment. And I'm a great optimist. I honestly believe that we can say that we have in this society every right, as has been said about the Greeks in their period of most conspicuous ascendancy and flowering civilization, that we have every right to be proud of our past, committed to our present, and confident of our future. Thank you very much.
In the eons that rational man has thought and walked and worked on this planet, his history has, on rare occasion, taken a radically new direction by the occurrence of some spectacular event. One of these is man's first voyage to the moon. Today, we honor the man who led this breakthrough into the new. Frank Borman, for your courageous willingness to accept the incredible burden of leading a mission which publicly put the honor of your country and the hopes and dreams of mankind on the line, for your strength of character and charismatic leadership which makes you an inspiration to young men and women everywhere, as witness your selection by our class of 1972 as their class hero, for your profound understanding of the relationship born by this nation's space program to its efforts for international cooperation, namely that man's conquest of space can be the moral equivalent of war, for the deep sense of wonder which led you to choose the creation story from Genesis to broadcast to Earth from moon orbit and thereby to rekindle in the entire human family the profound reverence which binds us all together. Through the authority vested in me by the sovereign state of Michigan, and by order of the Board of Trustees of Hope College, I now confer on you, honoris causa, the degree of Doctor of Science, with all the rights and privileges appertaining to that degree, of which this citation shall be a witness forever.
It's just lacking a few months of 59 years since we moved into the building we have occupied up until now. And we're real happy to have this opportunity to move into a new home. And it's, for me, it's sort of a once in a lifetime occasion.
This is a memorable day for the city of Grand Haven. For this is much more than just dedicating a beautiful new building into the service of the Security First Bank and Trust. It's a demonstration of their faith in the future of our community and of downtown Grand Haven. Every city needs the services of progressive, forward-looking banks to assure that this will always be the wonderful place it is now in which to live. On behalf of the citizens of Grand Haven, please accept our congratulations on a job well done and our thanks for your contribution to our future.
We've just completed a Chamber of Commerce board meeting, and the board has unanimously elected to have Paul Helmer of Spring Lake as our new secretary manager of the Grand Haven Spring Lake Ferrisburg Chamber of Commerce. And Paul is here at the present time, and we would like to congratulate him on this new position and welcome him into the chamber community.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cook. I certainly appreciate the vote of confidence that the Chamber Board gave me just a few minutes ago, and I'm looking forward very much to doing everything that I can for the community through the Chamber Board and through the Chamber Committees.
She will be retiring from her U.S. Coast Guard activities after the finish of the beauty pageant in Muskegon. So the Coast Guard Festival Committee has picked another girl, the runner-up from last year, who will serve as Miss U.S. Coast Guard in our 1970 festival. And I would like to have her come forward now. Please meet and welcome Miss Jacqueline Waldo. We have another choice, lovely Miss U.S. Coast Guard to serve with us this year. She is the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. George Waldo, and I am sorry to say they're out of town and unable to be with us tonight. But I would at least like to have Jackie say hello. Jackie?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I can't tell you what an honor it is for me to be here tonight. And I'd like to express my appreciation to all those people who made it possible.
The news of Mayor Virgil Quebman's death came as a shock. We had talked just this past week of his return to council activities when he had completed the program of rest and relaxation prescribed by his doctor. Even though he was forced to rest, Virg still wanted to be kept posted as to how things were going. His community came first. We on the council shall miss him as a man and as a friend, but more than that, we shall miss his experience and steadying hand as a civic leader. He did his utmost to reassure the people as well as keep them informed as to changes taking place. Nothing is more descriptive of this effort than the program he initiated, Tell It Like It Is. He took great personal pride in the many committees he served, Coast Guard Festival, auditing, finance, and at the county level, the Allocations Board. In addition, his concern for area-wide problems prompted him to look for area-wide solutions. Time and again, he asked the council to find answers that would help all of us in the Tri-Cities communities. In each of these, his insight and experience served his fellow citizens well. His loss will be felt. The experienced leadership and concern for his community will not easily be replaced. We share the sorrow with his son, Jim, in whom he took great pride. We are sure the community realizes with us the loss of a dedicated father, friend, and community leader. We will miss him. The City Councils of Ferrisburg and Grand Haven are pleased to announce that a proposed agreement to provide water to the people of the City of Ferrisburg has been tentatively accepted. After several months of intensive negotiations by a four-man subcommittee appointed by Mayor Babcock and Mayor Quebeman, both councils agreed that the proposal is nearing a point of final acceptance and has reached the stage that calls for public announcement. Mayor Babcock and Mayor Pushaw stated, however, there are still details to be worked out and that they wanted the people of both communities to have an opportunity to familiarize themselves with the proposed agreement.
The contract is a major accomplishment of my term as mayor. Many problems have been worked out during these negotiations, and a broad-minded realization of the validity of each position and compromise was the highlight of these discussions. Daryl Tammen and Fred Rowland, with their technical knowledge, were able to provide the solid foundation data which made this contract possible. Ferrisburg must now work to provide its own distribution system and be ready to use the water which this contract can make available to every home, factory, or commercial establishment in Ferrisburg. We have the potential source. We have an excellent contract for water. We now must show our good faith in building a distribution system within the next 2 years.
Let us now dedicate with our minds and our hearts this new facility, not just to the citizens of this area whose generosity made it possible, but let us dedicate it to the continued betterment of mankind's health care. And let us resolve that this dedication will not be a passive one. Rather, let us dedicate it with the determination that it will be a viable and a progressive resolve, that we will continue to keep pace, that we will continue to reach out, that we will continue to provide the best possible care and concern for our people. The Good Samaritan, the great physician, said, "What you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me." So, on this holy day, let us formally dedicate this new North Ottawa Community Hospital facility. And let us do it with pride, but even more, let us do it with humble thanks that indeed tomorrow will be a brighter day.
Educational Television Corporation and Grand Valley State College are cooperating in trying to bring educational television to an 8-county area in western Michigan. We need to raise approximately $500,000 to qualify for matching federal dollars, and with $1 million we can launch an ETV station. At the present time, we've raised $275,000 in pledges, so we're well over halfway on our fundraising goal in western Michigan. This would be a fantastic resource for all of us to have, to bring the classroom into the living room and to provide excellent children's programming through Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
I want to take this opportunity to thank the members of the Grand Haven Spring Lake Wastewater Treatment Facility for all of the many hours, days, and weeks they have spent in trying to resolve a problem that will reflect on all of us, all of the people in the area. It is another example of what can be done when we sit down jointly and attempt to work out our problems. This is a facility that will serve all of us, and I hope from this point on that we can surmount all of the obstacles and move ahead with this project and see that it's completed on time. And again, thank you, gentlemen, one and all.